This morning's reading continues from last week's reading from the prophecy of the universal theocracy. Individuals are wont to interpret the universe privately, that is, by use of their reasoning minds. Nations and governments believe their laws are good and just, but secular laws are created for the lawful order of the secular world. Religions create their own theology and dogma, believing these are just means of creating law and order. Neither earthly powers nor heavenly powers are capable of impressing true justice and righteousness on the secular-minded, be it individual, nation, or religion. All individuals, nations, and religions invoke self-power as the ultimate authority in observing the universe. None holds to the one law of God because they are incapable of understanding it. Without a soul brought into being by means of the image and the word of God, they cannot see any practical reason for doing so. Therefore, individuals, nations, and religions look upon their own images and listen to their own words, casting God away and ignoring his image and word. Such is the state of the world as it has been since the fall. Individuals drawn into the community from the many nations and religions of the world who hold to their disruptive philosophy of self-invoked power and authority pose the gravest of dangers to the Second Advent Church on earth. The church, which is formed by the image of God and animated by his word, is not of itself capable of altering this condition. And if God is not able to do so, earthly powers can accomplish even less. The profane will look upon the sun, absorbing and applying its light and energy by erroneous reasoning, believing they are capable of controlling the powers of creation and generation. They will abuse the powers absorbed, reflect their own images into the sun, and cause the spread of error into the very core of the solar system. They will work their wickedness within the structure of the church, causing dissension, misunderstanding, confusion, and error of doctrine. This poses the most singular danger to the young church. Only by sacred law and holding to the statutes and the laws of God impressed upon the members can prevent the disruption caused by the erroneous reasoning of those not holding to the law of heaven and of the earthly church. For I say unto you as my successor and head of the church, that to accomplish unity within the church will be your most difficult task. Examine the lives of those God sent into the world to reveal God's laws and the means of salvation. The world persecuted them, killed them, and altered their teachings. For this reason, God has appeared in full strength to burn away all error, wickedness, and ignorance. For if darkness not be eradicated from creation, the generation of darkness will continue as before, forever binding the spirit to error. This God would prevent, for he has seen that the spirits of the races of the world are incapable of self-liberation. Only God's light will exist in his creation. Only those holding to the law will be able to endure the brightness of his coming. The races of the world must be prepared for the redeeming powers of God and the alteration and transformation that is taking place. Scriptures and holy books of all races tell of this event and of the tribulation of the world. Therefore, let all within the order hold to the law, submitting to God's will and being content to assist him in his divine plan for human salvation and the release of spirit. Let all know that the powers and forces received into their beings are not theirs to possess, to change, to use, or to control. In unifying with God, they allow these forces and powers to manifest within them for the overall good of the creation. Let all release personal hold over their beings. Let God enter into them so that the image and the word, united to the greater image and word, manifest as one, might appear. Who but the enlightened can let go of the hold of darkness over their beings? Who but the children of God, created in his image and taken over by his divine presence, can see the dangers of darkness? Who but the wise of spirit can see the reasons for God's redeeming work and the good that can come of it? Let all members of the church understand and acknowledge that the powers of darkness, the negative generative principle, are opposed to God's creative powers of light and the creative principle. Let all who absorb into their beings the generative and destructive powers within the sun be warned of the terrible consequences of allowing these powers to take hold of their beings. By allowing this, the light of the sun is turned to rank darkness and all-consuming bitterness that pollutes one's spirit, forcing one to walk in the way of darkness and not in the way of light. If one live not the way under God's law, as explained by the teachings, doctrines, codes, canon, institutes, precepts, concepts, scripture, and theology of the church and school, but insist on following the individual way of ordinary reasoning, then the light of the sun will be baneful and injurious. This is the curse of which I spoke, the consequences of a rebellious spirit. The wise know this to be true, and knowing it, submit to the will of God, not out of fear, but rather because they possess divine reason and have respect for a higher power and for the supernatural laws in effect at God's second advent. With God's appearance, all forces, creative and generative, light and dark, must be magnified out of normal proportions. God has ordained that only the wise, instructed in the holy teachings, and who have understanding of the transformation that will occur in individuals, nations, and the religions of the world, shall be able to bear the turmoil caused by the unleashing of dark and negative forces. Only the wise of spirit will be able of comprehending and enduring the ruin they will observe, self-imposed by those who have lost the blessings of God and who have fallen victim to the curse I speak of. Let all be warned. The races of the world have lost the way. God's manifestation shines alike on the wicked and the righteous, on the bad and the good, on the scrupulous and the innocent, on the unlawful and the lawful, on the ignorant and the wise, so that the world and the universe may be restored to creative order. The races of the world have not seen, in all the generations of darkness, the brilliant force of God's true justice and final judgment to be displayed. By his word, God has founded this church so that all of the races may be informed of what is to come. This church is to live as ordained under the image of law in good order, living and teaching the way above all else. This is its primary responsibility. Let its teachers inform all peoples everywhere that God comes to put down darkness and evil forever. Let the peoples of the world rejoice at his appearance. God has risen, and his power will be strengthened in heaven by the Son, and on earth by his church, which is the protector of the races. Let every teacher ordained and holding office reflect God's light in eye, mind, speech, and breath, and reveal those things received exactly as given in pure form, altering them not for his or her soul's sake, so that all may have knowledge of truth. Let none transgress the law. As God appears in the midst of heaven as the one instructor, let the teachers stand in the midst of the world as instructors. Let the image and the word of God be seen, known, heard, and spoken of in praise, love, thankfulness, and in imitation of the all-consuming power of God that illuminates both mortals and immortals, uniting them as one. The right time for this is now, the time of God's coming for the resurrection of the races. That which singly one sees as the Son is Father of body, in whose image each is made. It is apparently the source, yet it is not. Each must look beyond to the bright face of God in the true Son of his spiritual being, in which his spirit was made image. The image of the image of the image, and which is revealed by the Word, God's firstborn messenger and revealer. The offspring of God, those living spirits possessed of God's image and Word, are bound to him as by an invisible cord of sacrifice and adoration. Humankind shines by the divine presence, a race that shone not before the coming, one that will cease to shine if the way not be lived in accordance with the law, withering away as dead matter, for it shall be left to darkness, the destroyer of life. Individuals, nations, and religions who turn from the way and cling to their own way, those who seek after darkness and not the light, those who perform ritual and sacrifice, recite scripture, and follow the written law of times past, those who, proud of their learning, wise in their folly, are as the blind leading the blind, those workers of good works, those of faith and belief, those knowledgeable of worldly things, those ignorant as innocent children, those singers of song, all those who seek after wealth and power, impressing others to their wills, those who war, those of lofty station, reject the divine as the means to divinity, wither and die, falling into chaos and disorder, forever. Those righteous souls who love God more than their own beings, more than nation or religion, those who place their trust in the eternal image and word as truth, those who turn away from the senses, trusting to the Spirit as source of true reality, those who recognize the signs of God's appearance from what has been written and from what has been experienced, those who acknowledge the true church as man's protector, are above all persons wise and noble, for they put away false doctrine, turn from darkness, and cling to the image and the word, and hold to the law. One who loves God and serves the way is, above all, serene and knowledgeable of what is good, just, righteous, beautiful, and true. This person is born again in the image of God, is freed from the world of matter, and is liberated from darkness. This enlightened person puts away the former holy books, holy laws, human saviors, and preachings. For he or she knows that these do not give immortality. The saint-to-be who acknowledges God's appearance turns from secular learning, national law, economic and political powers, and all the worldly arts, sciences, and ways of man. For he and she know they are a waste of time and a burden with one's short life and ultimate death. Only one who loves God is part of God's state of union. One who is consecrated to God's service at the second appearance turns from the malformation of human life, which he or she knows is under the powers of darkness, to spiritual life filled with love and goodness of God's light. The human mind, incarnate with malevolence and full of enmity against God's light, is aberrated and deformed, and takes delight in maligning the prophets and the holy ones who have come age after age to assist humankind, which exists under the envious hold of evil. The enlightened enters into the light and reaches the image and the word by means of its healing rays, thus curing the mind of its malfeasance. God becomes Lord of the mind and spirit, holding them to the law manifest in the heavens. God has fixed his altar in the heavens, in the seat of the sun, where no human, no nation, no religion may profane or abuse it. It is a blessed banquet table from which all who wish may partake of a holy repast, the food of life, which is nourishment of the soul. All mortal things, suns, stars, and planets clustered in space, humans and all living forms generated on the globe, must perish in time, for having eaten of life, they have broken the law of God. The generation of being from son to man involves eating one another, eating and being eaten. And man who lives off the sun is consumed by it in the end and becomes food for lesser forms. The way of all mortal life, celestial and terrestrial, consists of reflected images of other forms from high to low. But the image of God is eternal, and those who feed on it are made eternal. In eating, they receive a gift of grace and love, And by this eating, they are consumed by God, becoming one with him. Therefore, let all who come to God's heavenly altar look to the divine food placed thereon and not to the altar itself. And by the eating of this divine food, let them feed others of this food in reflecting God's image and word. By so doing, they relinquish their mortality and take on immortality. In going from darkness to light, they live the law of truth as a breathing spirit. They speak the word and radiate the image. And by these means, the nourishment of God's food is absorbed and becomes life for the soul. And we will now have the blessings.